going to discuss religious-based hate crimes this hour and wonder what more can be done to curb these incidents. And wonder if you have any thoughts or suggestions or maybe even experiences. Have you ever been targeted in a crime or discrimination because of your religion? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, February 17th. There has been a rise in anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin in the past year, and there was a crime over the weekend in Madison that is in the headlines, where more than 30 homes were vandalized, and some had spray-painted ethnic and racial slurs and swastikas. We are going to talk about this rise in anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin in the last year, and the rise in global violence against Muslims, Christians, and Jews, and talk about what, if anything, can be done about it. Our guest is Wayne Thompson, an associate professor of sociology and criminal justice at Carthage College in Kenosha. He specializes in social dimensions of religion and crime. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and welcome back to your own show.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I had a week off, and I was battling bronchitis. I still have just the remnants of it, but I'm feeling much better, thanks. And if I turn off the mic,
without you,
thanks very much. Well, I've been even though I've been ill, I've been scanning the headlines lately, and you see stories about crimes against various religious groups, including Jews and Muslims and Christians. Just generally, at first, do you believe that this is because more of these incidents are happening, or because there's an increase in reporting them, or both?
Well, yeah, both. If the incidents occur at it's because it's occurring in a cultural context where we're paying more attention to it. There may be rises and increases over time, but it's important not to forget that the cultural reactions also shift, and so right now we're paying more attention.
Yeah. So we will talk about why we're paying more attention, but why do we suppose this is happening more and more lately?
Well, incidents of religious space and other kinds of hate crimes are often linked to economic frustrations, perceptions of threat. They occur under conditions of growing cultural pluralism. Often the rates of these kinds of behaviors are higher or highest in rural or small town areas, which are the last to change in societies. And so, for instance, in France, there were some grave desecrations of in Jewish cemeteries in this past week, and that occurred in an area of France where there are few Jews. So, lack of social contact, cultural pluralism, this creates kind of perfect storm under which you would expect that there'd be increase in religiously based and other kinds of hate crimes.
Yeah. It seems a little odd to ask this, but which religious group seems to be targeted most often?
Well, the FBI does keep statistics on hate crimes and is going to be expanding just the data collection in 2015 and looking forward to answer just that question. So for the United States, at least, the most common victims of hate crimes are Jews and gay men. So about 17% of hate crimes known to the FBI, at least, are religiously based. Motivated by racial bias is going to be more common. That's 49%. Sexual orientation, 21%, but religiously based hate crimes are 17%. So it is a major category.
Yeah, it is. It is. What do we know among the religions? Well, for example, there was a recent report out following the recent murder of three Muslim students in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, that incident being investigated as a possible hate crime. But data shows anti-Muslim hate crimes are still five times more common today than before 9/11?
Well, yes, there's a high level of anti-Muslim crimes, but the FBI statistics are a little unclear. That's why the FBI is going to be expanding data collection to specify which religion, if there's a religiously based hate crime reported. Now local police agencies are going to have the opportunity to specify which religion is involved. So it's a little murky as to exactly whether the rate is increasing, decreasing. Certainly what we do see is more attention to these crimes. They may have been occurring all along, but what I'm suggesting is that there's more attention to them, which makes it appear that the rates are going up. The statistics are not really clear. Also, the FBI is expanding to include another category, which is anti-Arab hate crimes. So there's this overlay between ethnicity and religion that makes it difficult to classify exactly how much hate crime is specifically religiously based or aimed toward particular religious groups. The two most, the two best known would be, of course, anti-Semitism and Islamophobia or anti-Muslim crimes. But here in Wisconsin, for instance, I grew up in northern Wisconsin, north central Wisconsin, around Marshfield, and the issues there have to do with tax on Amish. So there are the two major categories would be, anti-Semitism and anti-Muslim, but there are other kinds of religiously based bias crimes.
Yeah, interesting. I didn't think about that. And so what you're saying is we don't really have the statistics now to single out each specific religion when it comes to these possible hate crimes.
Yes, but with greater awareness and attention, the FBI is on this, and the FBI is the place where the statistics need to be improved so that we can, get some of these categories sorted out and understand exactly how much each religion is the object of hate crimes.
Well, and in fact, while it wasn't necessarily recent, we have talked to you in the past about what may have been a mistaken case of a religious-based hate crime with the murder of members of the Sikh community in southeastern Wisconsin.
Oh yes, that was difficult. I remember doing that show. It was the day after the incident, the shootings, unfortunate shootings at the Sikh temple on the south side of Milwaukee. I think it's in Oak Creek, and that was the hardest show I think I've ever done with WPR because, what do you say? So people do heinous things and heinous acts, and in that case, the offender was killed, and so they're not there to speak for themselves. And that presents a problem in classification. Many hate crimes go, if they're even detected, go unreported. Those that are reported, oftentimes we never find the offender, so we're not able to ask them why they did it. We can only, offer our guesses. The incidents in Madison over the weekend, I don't know if they've apprehended anybody, but oftentimes with hate crimes, we can only guess as to the motives.
Right, and we will we'll get an update on that incident in Madison over the weekend after the news. But very briefly, in Madison, residents in a West Side neighborhood woke up on Saturday morning to find anti-Semitic graffiti on garage doors, driveways, vehicles. Police estimated the damage at more than $10,000. But they are saying now that it does not appear that the residents were specifically targeted based on religion. They are not calling it a hate crime. We just have a minute before. Can you in a minute tell us what actually constitutes a hate crime?
Well, sure. I put together a definition. I don't know how well it'll work for every listener here, but hate crime could be seen as bias-motivated crimes, so prejudice is involved, based on but not limited to ethnicity, gender identity, language, nationality, physical appearance, religion, or sexual orientation. Those are the categories we have for now, but generally there's prejudice involved. So discrimination is often related to prejudice. Hate crimes are violations of the criminal code that are at least motivated in part by bias, by prejudice.
We are talking with Wayne Thompson, an associate professor of sociology and criminal justice at Carthage College in Kenosha. He specializes in social dimensions of religion and crime. He's talking with us about what seems to be a recent rise in hate crimes against religious groups. And we are discussing why this is and what can be done about it. And we'll talk more after this news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Jewish organizations say there was a dramatic rise in anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin in the past year. In addition, 30-some homes were vandalized on Madison's west side over the weekend, including some that had anti-Semitic slurs and swastikas. We are talking about religious-based hate crimes during this hour with a guest sociologist and criminologist. Wayne Thompson is an associate professor of sociology and criminal justice at Carthage College in Kenosha. We are also joined now by James Stein, the president of the Jewish Federation of Madison. He is one of several Westside Madison residents whose property was vandalized over the weekend. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Well, tell us what happened. What did you, you live in the neighborhood, what did you see when you woke up, I guess, on Saturday morning?
Yeah, so unfortunately I woke up Saturday morning and opened up the windows of my curtain and looked outside and saw spray painted on my neighbor's garage door across the street a large sign that said F Jews, which of course is very disturbing. Went outside, saw that the car parked in my driveway had been vandalized with several obscene words. It also had been broken into and damaged. Down the block, there was a large vulgar drawing on the door of another house's garage, and some other terms talking about black people and sexual organs. So a lot of very hateful graffiti. Around the corner, there was a KKK sign and a Confederate flag.
Oh, boy, how disturbing is that? So what was your reaction when you saw what was done?
Well, of course, I was upset. I also was surprised. I like to think that living in Madison, a very liberal, highly educated community, we're beyond this. And my mind went back and forth. Is this really a hate crime? Were the Jewish people in my neighborhood targeted? Were the black people in my neighborhood targeted? Or were these just a bunch of high school punks and they got a little bit out of hand?
Yeah. And in the news this morning, police spokesman Joel Despain is saying so far investigators have not found evidence that the victims in your neighborhood were targeted because of race or religion, which is an element needed to prosecute a hate crime. Do you have that sense that this was instead, I guess Joel Despain is saying, often these types of incidents are committed by teenagers. What is your sense?
So I agree with that. I believe that most likely this is just a bunch of high school kids whose hijinks got out of hand. But that to me, and I'd be very interested in what the professor has to say, doesn't make this any less harmful. I think that when people juxtapose the name of a religious group or a racial or ethnic group with a swastika, which is a clear sign of hatred, or the KKK or expletives, they're creating hate speech. And that's sinister. It says something about our society when children, even teens, are willing to juxtapose hate signs and derogatory terms with groups of people. It shows that those groups of people are on a lower level in their status in society.
Yeah, and we will get Professor Thompson to weigh in on that too. Is there anything you'd like to see done to curb these types of incidents?
Well, that's one of the things that we're struggling with right now. Tonight, the Jewish Federation of Madison will be meeting with the police chief and talking about how we can work in our Madison and interfaith community to try to curb these types of activities in the future. Clearly, education is warranted, but it takes more than education. It takes unity among people and a true belief that all people are created equal, that their faiths and beliefs need to be respected. And I'm not, of course, just talking for Jewish people, which I am, but for all races and beliefs. The problem is that this is happening throughout the world. We've seen in the news over the last few weeks that Jews were targeted in Europe on several occasions, that Christians have been slaughtered in the Middle East. So there's a lot of work to do worldwide, but I think we can start with Madison.
Yeah, and let me just get a final word on that. According to the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, Wisconsin saw a big rise in anti-Semitic incidents in 2014. There were 33 confirmed incidents last year, up from 13 from the year before. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel notes that the spike mirrors the global rise in anti-Semitism since last summer's war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. You do see a connection to what's happening in our state, to what's happening in the Middle East?
Yeah, I do. I think it's all part of a general globalization of anti-Semitism in specific, but also of hatred in general. Although I don't think the war per se fueled anything, I think that when there are fights between ethnic groups around the world that the media really focuses on, people become knowledgeable, and some people use that knowledge to promote good and collaboration and cooperation and understanding. But other people just hear about wars and fighting, and then it stokes the flames of any anger or hostility that they may have in them.
Yeah.
It's a very simple explanation, of course.
Do you have any... I don't know, a message to leave us all with in midst of what's happened to you and your neighbors?
I'm very proud of my neighbors and the people in the city of Madison who all came out to help us scrub off the hateful drawings, the hateful slogans, delivered cookies and coffee, and we have received messages of community from across the United States, people as far away as New Jersey. So I really have great faith in people, but we really need to keep our eyes open, because in countries around the world where atrocities occurred, countries that never thought they could have atrocities, it began with hate speech.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
James Stein is the president of the Jewish Federation of Madison. Wayne Thompson, the associate professor of sociology and criminal justice at Carthage College in Kenosha, stays with us. And Professor Thompson, what's your reaction?
Well, first of all, sorry to hear what happened to Mr. Stein and his neighbors. And, of course, as I was alluding to earlier, when we cannot apprehend the offenders, it's difficult to make a designation as a hate crime because you're unable to talk to them, to the people who did this, and understand if your neighbor's son is a naughty boy or if there's something more, you know, organized or pernicious going on. You don't know also whether... there is, you know, a lone wolf, you know, a person working alone, one or two people, if there is an organized group involved. So for that reason, we're always left with a nagging doubt, not knowing. Also, I would say about anti-Semitism in particular, Wisconsin has a very low percentage of Jewish population relative to some urban centers. In the Midwest, there are not large concentrations of Jews, but for Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and Madison are certainly places where Jews are more visible in our communities. Anti-Semitism is known to be associated with Christian beliefs. That's a painful place to go, but it's important to understand. Lots of research shows that starting in the 1960s, we learned that higher religious attendance, more frequent religious attendance and orthodoxy among Christians was associated with anti-Jewish prejudice. That's due in large part to social class differences, as evangelical Protestants are both more likely to harbor anti-Semitic beliefs and prejudice, but also to be more religious. So often what would appear to be a religious motivation may itself also be, you know, ethnically based. There is also the possibility that that there wasn't a religious bias, there wasn't a bias present in the attacks in Madison, but we simply don't know without being able to talk to the people who did it.
Right, and James Stein was saying that while he even has a sense that this was teenagers, it still doesn't lessen the hurt and the impact on you know. I mean, here he opens the window and sees a message spray painted across the street on his neighbor's garage door that says "F Jews." I mean, that's got to be just
very threatening, and it's meant to intimidate and threaten. You know, there's two sides to understanding hate crimes. The obvious question is, why do they do it? The more obvious, perhaps more obvious question than that even is why do we have the reactions that we do to hate crimes? Why do we have the societal reaction, you know? And I think because the second question becomes even more prescient, because it says something about all of us that we react and that we condemn and label such behavior as, you know, unacceptable, as outside the boundaries of what we expect from citizens, from civilized people.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that some of the anti-Jewish hate crimes have roots in Christian beliefs, but we have Dan on Facebook who says, there is so much hate from the left, it is there that you see the anti-Semitic BS. Just look at how Obama treats Israel. What about that?
Well, the United States, of course, no matter who's president, is going to take a favorable stance toward Israel. So, you know, but we live not in a place, but in a description of a place, as the poet Wallace Stevens once put it, that we live in these conversational worlds in our heads and these narratives of narrative bubbles. So these kinds of perceptions are reinforced by media, by the kinds of social media we're exposed to, by the kinds of conversations we have every day. And increasingly, Americans are polarized. They live with, you know, little contact with others, and in many cases, others who are different from us, and differences frighten us. And so there's a tendency to define others as, you know, who are different than us, especially in dress and appearance and worldview, as bad, as a threat. And the idea that the United States or President Obama is anti-Israel and that causes hate crimes, I would look, research points us more toward prejudice, growing up in authoritarian homes, lack of education, lack of contact, and intergroup contact. These are more the culprits, and not a particular leftist or rightist ideology that create fertile ground for hate crimes.
Okay, lots of callers. Joe in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I think history has a lot to teach us on this issue. Your guest mentioned Christianity, the relations with anti-Semitism, and I think that's a key issue. If this may sound somewhat extreme, but I think it's very true, I think unless, you know, without Christianity and without the hatred of Jews that goes back to the very beginnings with the fathers of the Christian church and the Gospels, particularly John's Gospel, the Passion, Christianity has taught from its very outset Jews as God killers, as people who caused, obviously, the death of Jesus, and that I don't think it's by any means extreme to say that without Christianity, and Hitler was a Catholic, he was never excommunicated, without Christianity, the Holocaust could never have happened. It was so ingrained within that, you know, European culture, and I think that even today, on, for example, Good Friday, Catholics still use the Passion from John's Gospel, which is quite anti-Jewish. And it's very rare that anyone, say, would give a sermon on countering what was just read. And, you know, the congregation's left with this image of Jews as the killers of Jesus.
Yeah. All right, that's what you were getting at a little earlier, Professor Thompson.
Yes, and I think it's important. I agree with Joe as he raises the, you know, sort of historical factors involved, and they do have staying power. As early as 1000 A.D. and forward, even before that, we see an attempt to get rid of Jews from Europe. Martin Luther talked about putting Jews in re-education camps for purposes of conversion, not to kill them, but still. So we see this long history in Europe. We see in the United States a history of tension with Jews, but also, you know, a modicum of more religious tolerance, at least an expectation of religious tolerance here in the United States that may not be this at the same level as in Europe. I mean, after all, in Europe, they're passing laws. France, for instance, has a law that you may not have religious symbols displayed in clothing, which means Muslim women can't wear hijabs. Okay, that's a law of the land. You wouldn't expect to see a law like that in the United States. So I think in the United States, we do have an expectation, or at least an aspiration, that things would be different. But there is this legacy left over from Europe, a legacy of anti-Semitism. And also keep in mind, Jews are very concentrated in the United States. They're less concentrated than they used to be, but still the large population centers are where Jews live. You tend not to see them as much in rural areas, small towns, and states like Wisconsin. And so a lot of people don't have contact with Jews. If you don't know them, people personally, it's easier to hate them.
John in Somerset is with us. Hello, John.
Hello. My question is about like those 20 Egyptians that were beheaded over there. I consider that kind of a hate crime.
Well, I guess it is, isn't it, Professor Thompson?
Yes, I agree with John that would be considered a hate crime. But again, this distinction that we need to make between hate crimes that have group support and that are part of organized activity, and lone wolves. And the Southern Poverty Law Center here in the United States has noted a dramatic increase in the number of hate groups, organized groups, since President Obama was elected. In the Middle East, too, I think it's important to see that there are regional local factors that, such as, you know, ethnic tensions, the war that's going on, that are also involved. And so it's difficult to generalize from our context here in the United States, from, you know, say the attacks we saw in Madison over the weekend, to what happens in the Middle East. It's a big leap. But I do see a connection. And indeed, hate crime in that case is organized violence, organized hatred. But we see this in the United States as well. You see more lone wolf attacks, too, in the United States. Because I think that there are reasons to believe that there is more religious tolerance in the United States than you find in other parts of the world.
We have a newscast coming up in just a minute, so not time for another call before that. But we will get to more of your calls, more of your thoughts and questions, and maybe even experiences when it comes to religiously based hate crimes. Talking about this with Wayne Thompson, an associate professor of sociology and criminal justice at Carthage College in Kenosha. He specializes in social dimensions of religion and crime. Talking with him about this because of a report from Wisconsin Jewish organizations saying there has been a dramatic rise in anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin in the last year. And this case of vandalism in Madison over the weekend, where some 30 homes were spray painted with anti-Semitic slurs and swastikas. Talking not only about anti-Semitism, though, in Wisconsin, but an examination of global violence, worldwide against religious groups. And welcoming your thoughts and questions after the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about hate crimes, religious-based hate crimes, and wondering what needs to be done to curb these incidents. wondering if you have thoughts or suggestions or experiences. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Wayne Thompson, an associate professor of sociology and criminal justice at Carthage College in Kenosha, who specializes in social dimensions of religion and crime. Well, let's go back to the phones. Marty in Palmyra is with us. Hello, Marty.
Good morning, Joy. Here's an abstract thought. What if there was no religion at all? My guess is that you'd be able to open up your window or look out your window and you wouldn't see swastikas spray painted anywhere. You wouldn't see Sunnis killing Shiites, Muslims killing Christians, Protestants killing Catholics, the Crusades. It goes on and on. Previous caller mentioned we need more Christianity. I'm going to posit we need no Christianity. You end religion, you save lives.
All right. Well, he says the root of religious-based hate crimes, religion, Professor Thompson.
Okay. Interesting point, Marty. What I would say is religions, I would not be sounding the death knell of religion anytime soon, so it is a social reality. Religion has both beneficial and negative impacts in society, and it is just it's a social reality, as I said. So religion's not going to go away. However, if it did, if we had a world without religion, I would imagine that hate crimes would migrate. There are plenty of other venues and reasons for hatred. So religion can be a healing force here as well. So if indeed lots of hate crime, about 18%, is religiously motivated, then religion is both problem and implicated in the solution. In fact, much of the anti-bias education that goes on in the United States is happening through churches, through religious organizations. Kenosha is an example. Where I live, we have one mosque, and the imam, the pastor, basically, went to the local ministers association. Nobody talked to him. The only person who would talk to him was our Jewish rabbi, who happens to be Dana Feingold, the sister of former Senator Russ Feingold. And she went up and talked to the imam, made friends, and now they've done exchanges where they speak to each other's faith communities. So religion's the problem, yes, a big part of the problem. Religion is also a part of the solution.
You know, Joe on Facebook makes a reference to this incident in Madison that was is being investigated, being thought to be maybe vandalism as opposed to a hate crime. But Joe writes, whoever did this needs to be caught, tried, and sentenced to 2 years of community service in Israel, and then goes on to say that education is the answer here, and that's what's going to wipe out fear and hate mongers.
Well, there's good reasons to believe that, research backs what Joe is saying, that indeed education is associated with bias in general, that is to say in a negative way. So the more education, the less the bias. And the way education works is to bring you into contact with people who are different than you, but also it makes you be a more critical thinker. So education allows us to think about our prejudices, realize that they're based in false information, and revise the way we think, and brings us into contact with other kinds of people. So I would agree with what Joe's saying.
Tom in Platteville is with us now. Hi, Tom.
Hi. My main comment was about the way what wouldn't help against hate crimes. And one, I don't think laws specifically targeted against hate crimes will help, because I think it's been pointed out previously in the show that hate crimes, the primary definition of a hate crime is the motivation of your heart, and laws have never been shown to fix that problem, because we don't have laws against thinking bad thoughts, but also the idea that we should, and I agree with education that would be helpful, but as far as telling people that we need to respect or think of all religions as equal, I don't think that's helpful either, because that will only inflame those who already have negative feelings of other religions, and so because obviously they prefer their own religion. So I think we need to have a respect for people, but not necessarily respect for all people's ideas.
Mm-hmm. All right, a reaction, Professor Thompson?
Why, sure. Okay, you know, the idea that, that laws don't help, I'm not so sure about that. I think that there's plenty of evidence that that when you change behavior, attitudes eventually come around, and that when you try to change attitudes apart from changing behavior, you're going to be waiting a very long time to change. What many people are asking for with hate crimes is to put on amplifiers to sentences. So if it's determined that it's a hate crime, you would get, you know, more severe punishment, more jail time, that sort of thing. I'm not sure that that wouldn't play some role. Culture, though, is often slow to respond to changes in society. So the way we live changes, the cultural pluralism grows, but the, you know, more different kinds of people, but the attitudes lag behind. That doesn't mean attitudes can't be changed.
Yeah. A similar comment, a listener on Facebook says, I don't believe there's anything wrong with saying that this group moved into my neighborhood and the crime rate went up and ruined my neighborhood. Our founding fathers never wanted us to hold back on anything we thought we should say to stand up for ourselves. That's why they gave us freedom of speech. Maybe we should clarify here that when there is a hate crime enhancer, it's not because someone thought bad thoughts or said something. It's if they committed a crime with the motivation of that hate, like, you know, as they committed the crime, right? So it's, you have to commit a crime with the motivation of a hate against a protected group.
That's right, and just the same way that prejudice is not the exact same thing as discrimination, hate crimes being an extreme form of discrimination,
yeah.
But they're not the same thing, but they are interrelated. The answer is to start early anti-bias education, learning to accept what it means to live in a culturally pluralistic society. That comes early because we do know from lots of research prejudice is almost impossible to change.
Let's go to Ben in Germantown. Hello, Ben.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Professor Thompson.
Hey, Ben.
Hey.
Go ahead with your comment, Ben. Oh, he fell off. That's why he wasn't saying anything. Let's go to another call. We'll go to Jane in Ashland. Hello, Jane.
Hello. Your caller's just... just a few minutes ago, there he kept talking about religion, and he was repeating the sentiments of John Lennon in his the lyrics of his song Imagine. But John Lennon did not understand either. All hate. There are no religions that actually teach hate unless they that's part of their tenets. The anybody that's practicing hate is not practicing their the tenets of their religion.
Professor Thompson?
Well, people pick up the messages that they pick up, though. If you hear, for instance, from the pulpit in your church that homosexuality is wrong, it's bad, it is does amplify prejudices learned elsewhere, often learned in the family, in the neighborhoods you grew up in. So I think that religion has a special responsibility to be careful in how we portray those who are different than us.
I'm going to go to Maddie in Wapaka, who's been waiting. Hi, Maddie.
Hi. First, I'd like to say, to people that say if there was no religion, there would be less hate. All you got to do is go to communism where they don't allow religion, and Korea would be a prime example of cruelty to their fellow man. My main comment is I thought I heard someone imply earlier that evangelical Christians, that they are anti-Semitic, and that's a ridiculous statement because I do listen to Christian radio sometimes, and primarily because I like Christian music and the Unshackled stories. But anyway,
Maddie, I'm sorry, we're almost out of time. So you want to make the point that evangelical Christians are not anti-Semitic? In fact, just the opposite, isn't that right, Professor Thompson?
Yeah, and all I was talking about is probabilistically, evangelical Protestants do have higher levels of anti-Semitic prejudice, and there's plenty in evangelical religion that that works against prejudice as well. It's very complex, but when prejudices are higher, it's not always because of the religion. It's in the evangelical Protestant case because they tend to be from somewhat less educated, lower social classes, at least in historically. And that would account for the higher levels of prejudice, not necessarily because of their religion.
So how hopeful are you that these hate crimes or other crimes, incidents against religious groups will decline anytime soon?
Well, we always need the deviant. We always need people to hate because it solidifies social sentiments about what's right and what's wrong. So we will always have, some hate crime. But I think it's important to organize at the local level, to use religion. If religion is a reason for bias and bias-based crimes, religion also is a solution. And, society's complex. Religion is the most complex of all human phenomena. And therefore, as I've said before, religion is the problem. Religion's also a big part of the solution.
Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Wayne Thompson, Associate Professor of Sociology and Criminal Justice at Carthage College in Kenosha. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Kayla Blado, and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for all of your calls. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come, including On Your Money. We'll talk with financial planner Kevin McKinley about personal finance issues coming up in our next hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.